We continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
Well, some weeks ago I was sitting on my lounge having a moment of download time. I must confess I haven't had too many moments of download time in recent weeks, but this was going back a few weeks, and I brought up Netflix. And I scrolled through the news section, and it gave me an overview of some new movies that I could watch. A title doesn't tell you all that much, though. What you really need is a preview. And so, as I scrolled through, I saw the titles, but then I had the chance to just watch a cameo preview. And that kind of gave me a greater sense of what was to come in that new movie. The preview of something gives you much more of a sense of anything than just the name. So it can be with parts of the Bible too. And today we're beginning a new series through chapter 8 of the book of Romans in the Bible. And this is a series that we're describing as the greatest chapter ever written. That's a big call. But I think you'll understand as we dig into it week by week why we're describing it that way. But just that title doesn't necessarily tell you much. So guess what? You're going to get a preview today, a sneak preview of this series, to give you much more of a sense of what Romans as a whole is about, and this chapter 8 in the middle of Romans that we're going to be taking a closer look at. I wonder, have you got a favourite verse or a favourite chapter in the Bible? For many people it can be Psalm 23. For some people it's John 3:16. For others it's Proverbs 3:5 and 6. Or it could be something else in the Bible. No part of the Bible is actually more important than any other. But there are some parts and some verses and some passages that we can find to be particularly meaningful. And one of those for many is Romans chapter 8, or some of the verses in there at least, if not as a whole. Why is that? It's because here's just a sneak preview of some of what we're going to be looking at in more depth over the weeks ahead. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right up front at the start of the chapter, and we'll get into that next week. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, about midway through the chapter. And David Barber, who's our new ministry leader for prayer, as we sat together and talked a few weeks ago, one of the things that David's heart for when it comes to prayer and prayer amongst God's people in the church is the sense of how we can so often feel so inadequate in prayer and feel like we are weak in prayer, that we don't know what to pray, we don't know how to pray, and we feel our own sense of weakness in our prayer life. And when we get to that verse, David, as our prayer ministry leader, is going to speak into that, and he's going to do the message the Sunday that we're looking at that. Then here's another one, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. How about this one in verse 31? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then right at the end of Romans chapter 8 in verse 39, that'll be a while away yet, but nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Each of those in themselves and many more that I could have spoken of are profound and powerful verses and statements and promises of God. Great verses with great truths. And that's just a taster of some of what's to come. We'll come back in a moment to why Romans chapter 8 might just be this greatest chapter ever written in a moment. But first, some backdrop to this series. What do we know about the book of Romans as a whole? Well, it was written by the Apostle Paul, And it was written about 25 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So you had Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, about 33 years, and then his death and resurrection. And the Gospels record Jesus' birth, life, death and resurrection. And then after the Gospels comes the book of Acts, which records or gives us an account of the early church. And then after that comes a whole lot of letters to different churches, mainly written by Peter and Paul. And the first of these is Romans. But Romans is a bit different to most of the other letters that are written. The other letters are written specifically, most of them, to one particular church. Corinthians is written specifically to the church at Corinth and to the situation there and some issues there. They're written to particular churches, just like today it would be a Beau Morris Morty Alec, a letter written to them. So all the other ones are written to churches, particular churches, whereas Romans is different. It was written to the church in Rome as a whole. Not just to one church, but there are a whole lot of churches in Rome. And Romans was written to all followers of Jesus in Rome. It would, and how do we know this? Well, right at the start, in the first reading that that Rob read to us, it says at the start of Romans, when it's introducing the whole book, Paul says to all in Rome, Romans 1 verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and who are called to be his holy people. So it would be like in our day, someone writing to the Church of Melbourne as a whole, rather than simply to Beau Morris Morty Alec Baptist. And in a lot of ways, Melbourne is not dissimilar to Rome. Rome was a growing city. It was a hub. It was an eclectic place with a lot of different people there, types of people. There was lots of different philosophies and faiths and ways of life. It was a cultural center. There's a lot of similarities in some way between Melbourne and Rome. But Paul had never actually been to Rome, it seems. And Paul had never actually met the followers of Jesus who made up the Church of Rome. They would have heard of him, and they would have heard of the story of his life being turned around by God's grace. And Acts describes that. He'd made life so difficult for followers of Jesus up to that point. In fact, he persecuted and killed followers of Jesus, and they would run a mile from Paul. But then God turned his life around. And out of that, Paul became a missionary who would take the good news of Jesus to people in many different places across the Roman Empire of the time. So Paul would go here, there and everywhere. And that's why he'd never been to Rome, because he saw his God-given role to take the good news of Jesus to all places that hadn't heard of it before, whereas Rome had heard of the good news of Jesus. So why then did Paul write the book of Romans, this big picture book that spells out not only God's purposes through history, but Paul's story of experiencing God at work in his life? Well, the obvious thing is he wrote it because God's Spirit prompted him to, but there's more than that. The significance of Paul writing it is because he was giving God's people a comprehensive overview of the Christian gospel. He was giving God's people an essence of what they needed to know 30-odd years on after Jesus' life, death and resurrection, and what that meant for their lives. Not just what they needed to know, but what the reality of that actually meant for their day-to-day life. What Jesus' life, what Jesus' death, what Jesus' resurrection actually meant for their day-to-day lives, and the work of the Spirit and the implications of that for their faith and for their life. And in Romans, Paul actually deals with and answers many of the greatest questions and the greatest struggles any of us can have, even about our life as a Christian, about our faith, and he reminds us as well as reassuring us of some of the great realities of what we need to come back to and know. Romans chapter 8, then, that we're going to look at closely over coming weeks, is right at the centre of this. Romans chapter 8 has been described as the masterpiece within the masterpiece. It's been described as the Mount Everest of Romans. It's been described as the inner sanctuary within the cathedral of Christian faith. and it's been described as the sparkling point of the jewel. If the Bible as a whole were a ring and the book of Romans were its precious stone, well, Romans 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. Quite a few different images and rich images there. But the point is this. Romans chapter 8 is an incredible book of the Bible, an incredible chapter of the Bible. And I want to briefly unpack three reasons why it is so incredible now. To begin with, because it marks a turning point, not just in the Bible as a whole, but it marks a turning point in Romans. The whole message of the Christian faith begins with understanding the reality of all that we're not as people. That despite our best intentions as followers of Jesus, we live with this constant struggle with sin. The chapter before, as Rob read some of that for us, Romans 7, describes Paul's struggle, even as a follower of Jesus whose life has been turned around to live the Christian life. Paul struggled with that. And the ongoing tug of war in Paul between God's best and his sinful nature. We read in verses 21 to 23, as Rob read it to us, "So I find this law at work," in Romans 7, just before Romans 8. "Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." Paul's struggle is my struggle too. If we're honest, Paul's struggle is your struggle too. All of our struggles, this tug of war between the ideal and the reality in our Christian lives, what we aspire to and the reality can be different. We just can't seem to get our act together. And there's this sense of despair from Paul in this, as there can be in us too in Romans chapter 7. He goes on into verse 24 in Romans chapter 7 to say, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" But then you come into chapter 8. And then you see the turning point where in verse 25 of chapter 7, right before chapter 8, the answer to that, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death," is, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord." And as you move from chapter 7 into chapter 8 in Romans, you step into the great light of God's good news in and through Jesus and in and through the work of the Spirit that overcomes the shadow world of Romans 7 and the shadow world that can be there in us too and all that's led up to that. Of God's love for us, despite all that we're not. That even though we can't get our act together, and even though we constantly struggle with sin and this gap between what we know is God's best and what we aspire to, and yet what we know is the reality in our lives, God, in and through Jesus and the work of His Spirit, is able to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And that changes things from despair to delight, from fear to freedom, from shame to security, from condemnation to security, from being stuck in who I am to being able to be changed under God. That's what's at the heart of the turning point that takes place through what we discover in Romans 8, that the end of chapter 7 just begins to lead us into. Romans 8 is a turning point, but it's a turning point that's transformative. The truth that it speaks of transformed Paul in his struggle with sin, even as a great apostle and as someone who God used to do so much in bringing the good news of Jesus to others and in writing much of the New Testament, and yet this great man struggled with sin day by day. And if he did, how much more are you and I going to? And yet we read of how it's transformative for Paul, and it can be transformative for you and I too. And what we'll look at in Romans 8 over the weeks ahead can and does make a very real difference. It isn't just theoretical, pie-in-the-sky truths, but it's truths that we can apply, and more than that, what we need for our day-to-day lives as followers of Jesus. Without understanding those truths, without those truths being real for us, we're not living the life that God has for us in and through Christ Jesus and His Spirit. as someone put it, Romans 8, is a well of deep, crystal clear, healing water for the parched soul. And we're going to put the bucket down into that well. And we're going to discover afresh some of that living water for my soul, for your soul, for each of our souls. Romans 8 is such a great chapter because it marks a turning point. It is transformative, and thirdly and finally, it is theological. When a young pastor asked a wise mentor what he should preach about, the reply came, "Preach about 20 minutes and preach about God." It's not rocket science. What is theology? Theology really just means learning more about God. Learning more about the truth of who God is and what God is like. And what life for us in God is meant to look like. And Romans chapter 8 packs a real punch when it comes to that. Because it unpacks key truths about God and the life that he has made possible for us as his children. It speaks about, as I've said, the work of the Spirit of God in that. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times in the first 27 verses of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans 8 more than it is anywhere else in the Bible. Even the book of Acts, people say, the book of Acts is where the work of the Holy Spirit is mainly. No, Romans 8 talks more about the work of the Holy Spirit than even the book of Acts. And it also has so much about what we can know in and through Christ Jesus that is prominent as well. Romans 8 is this treasure chest of practical day-to-day life theology, and we're going to dig deep into that over the weeks ahead. So there's the preview. But if you're going to receive all that God has for you over this series, you're going to shortchange yourself if all you do is just listen to me or someone else speak about it on a Sunday. I want to challenge you to do two things. I want to challenge you to read in your own time the verses that we're going to look at week by week. Now, it's going to be easy next week onwards because there'll be one or two or three verses at a time. But to start with, I want to challenge you to read the whole chapter. Just read Romans 8. Let it soak in. Read the whole chapter, get a sense of what's to come, and then as I say, we're going to work our way bit by bit through it, and then you just read the little chunks at a time week by week. So typically, that, like I said, that'll just be a few verses each week. But to start with, why not read the whole chapter just to get a sense of it? Don't rush it. Just let it soak in and be to you living water for your soul. And the second thing is that there will be resources each week. Those resources will be available on the church website. There'll be some hard copies on the table in the foyer as well. And those resources, and this way, there'll just be a few things to consider in that. And it'll tell you what verses to read. There are opportunities to reflect, to discuss with others. It's up to you. You can do it individually. You can do it with others. You can do it as part of your small group. If your small group wants to, that's entirely up to you. But to take in all that God has for us, to dig deep into the treasure chest, to put the bucket deep down into the well, then that's just not simply about what I say. And what God uses me to say or uses others to say, but it's about what you actually do out of that and with that. That's something that needs a bit more time and a bit more percolating, just like a coffee percolator, to let it really let it really percolate to be all that it could be for you. So let's discover all that God has for us in this great chapter of the Bible, and let's allow it to anchor our faith and life afresh in that. Let me pray. God, we want to thank you for the life-giving truth of your word. We want to thank you that that you, by your Spirit, breathe life and truth afresh into us in and through your word. And so we thank you for this part of your word that we're going to be digging into over the weeks ahead. We pray, God, that even this week ahead, as we seek to take just a few minutes or however long it takes, just to read through this chapter, that you would begin to work by your Spirit in us and open us up to all that you have for us to receive from you. God, thank you that you're a God who is constantly wanting to be at work in us by your Spirit. Doesn't matter what stage of life or faith we're at. There are things that you want to remind us of. There are things that you want to reassure us of. There are things that you want to reveal to us by your Spirit. So help us to prepare our hearts and prepare our lives for all that you, by your Spirit, want to be doing afresh in us. And we ask these things in and through the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Words for